Hello, and welcome to The Happiest of Hours, presented by Mox & Cox. This podcast is part of our journey to share experiences in the world where drinkers, alcohol-free folks, and the sober curious can coexist. We started our mission to create a space where everyone gets to have the same experience, regardless of what's in their glass, to show people it's okay to go out into the world, to the same events, and have the same great time.
We know how that looks different for everyone. Everyone is different. We just want to stop making it weird.
I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And we're Mox & Cox. Good day, Bridget.
Good day, mate.
Good day.
Good day, mate.
Oh my God, I listened to this. Is this too loud? I listened to The Smart List with Dana Carvey.
Oh.
Have you listened yet?
No.
It's so funny.
Is it?
Oh my God, all he does is impressions the whole time. It is hilarious. It's so funny. It's worth every single second of the commercials.
Few things make me happier than highlighting other people's podcasts on our podcast.
I know. But who cares?
No one.
We all do better when we all do better, Bridget.
Totally.
That is your line.
It is.
I've just come from the gym and I was starving. So I texted Bridget on the way and said, did you bring the beef sticks and blueberries? She said, no. And I said, well, luckily, we have beef sticks and a whole bunch of berries.
Luckily.
Luckily, which she then texted back, luckily with a period to me, which is a real dick move. But now we're eating beef sticks and tomatoes and pesto.
Which is one of my favorite things anyway.
Oh, so good.
It is.
Welcome, listeners.
Hi, everybody.
We are Katie and Bridget of Mox & Cox.
Oh, look at us doing an intro this week.
I know. Maybe we got some new listeners out here.
No, I think it's good.
I know we have one new listener.
A nice smooth entry. Yeah. We do?
Yeah, they already know us, but
oh,
arguably, I think it was our last guest.
Oh.
Well, welcome, listeners, to Mox & Cox, The Happiest of Hours. This is a spot where we...
Why are you doing an Anna Gasteyer?
Who's that?
She's the sweaty balls.
Oh,
like you're even
welcome. Oh, I'm channeling. I wish I had. I know.
A camera on.
No,
it.
Welcome, listeners.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it is nice and soothing.
Anyway, welcome, where were we?
Sorry, where were we? Shocking that we don't know where we were. We're in the middle of an intro. My name is Katie.
I am
the sober one of this podcast and this group, this duo. I quit drinking, 599 days ago.
Ooh.
Tomorrow will be 600 days.
That's a pretty exciting milestone.
I don't know why that number feels good, but it does. I think any like 100 I get to is kind of cool.
Any round number I like.
Yeah. I'm really waiting on 808. That's my number.
All right.
That's my number. But in any case, I quit drinking after years of being a party girl. I am a retired party girl now. I'm loving my sober life. Like every day just gets better and better. Bridget loves it that I'm sober too.
I do.
You make it sound like it was really horrible.
No,
I mean, it was for me, but that I think for the public.
Yeah. I think we're all fine.
Yeah. We're
I am Bridget. I am the not sober part of the duo.
Well, you're sober today.
I am sober today. That's true.
Today.
For now.
Until I have to leave here.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where the day goes.
Mm-hmm.
Where
the wind blows us.
So anyway, I am the cock of this duo, which stands for cocktails, because I still consume those. But the whole reason that we had started this was to prove that Katie and I can go to the same events, have the same fun time, regardless of what's in our glass. To make her not drinking not weird.
Right. It's really a simple mission.
Tis.
A simple crusade with so many layers.
We find new layers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite part.
And we have people reaching out to us all the time with thoughts of maybe you should talk about this. And I love that.
No,
keep it coming.
It's great. And just when we think we're getting somewhere,
we find out we aren't. And so I really like that, you know, we're always going to be in business.
I was just thinking on my way here, I was like, I haven't had any like drinking stories in the last couple of weeks, like nothing that I've run into that I'm like, ugh.
Oh,
but I've also not really been anywhere.
That'll do it.
I did explode an entire bottle of Liars in my ice cube tray yesterday.
Why? Why would you do that?
Because I was chilling it to drink it 2 days ago.
Whoops.
And then I forgot about it. Which I will remind you that in my drinking wine life, I would have never left a bottle in ice cube. It would have never actually even made it in there. I would have just drank it warm.
That you're not more mortified that you wasted an entire bottle of Liars.
I was fairly mortified, especially because that one sat in my pantry for weeks, months. I think that's back from Christmas. I am a little mortified by it. My husband was more mortified that there was glass all over the ice cube maker. Well, and the funny thing was, is it just like out of the blue, I remembered that it was in there. And then I was like, fuck, that thing exploded. And so there was green glass everywhere. We had to go and let it drip.
Green grass.
Glass.
Yeah, I know. But the song is green grass and not my fault.
They wrote it the wrong way. So anyway, I had to let that baby thaw out into the dumpster. And hope the cats didn't lick it.
I hope they did.
No!
They would enjoy a little Liars.
Not on the broken glass.
Oh, yeah.
Rude. No. Anyway, that was disappointing. But that's about the last, aside from the joyous sparkling rosé I had, which is delicious. Expensive, but delicious. I have drank 3 bottles of that in the last month.
That was the last what other than that?
Oh, that was the last like alcohol thing I've had, you know, like thing to come up in the last couple of weeks.
Is that a non-alcoholic bottle of champagne exploded?
Yeah. I don't have anybody that like a bartender didn't come up to me and was like, hey,
oh,
you're a dick because you don't drink. You know, that's what their face says. That's not what they actually say. I do want to run into one day that says that you're a real dick because you don't drink.
This really took a turn that I didn't see coming because I'm not sure where it went or where it's going.
Well, what I was saying is on the way here, I was thinking to myself that I haven't had any like run-ins that we could talk about.
With the law.
With the breaking the law.
Anyway,
okay, we're going to go on to our mocktail.
Great.
But what we do on this podcast, if you're just joining us. What? If you've just stuck in with us for the last 8 minutes.
You just mom cleaned that can.
Oh, I did. There was some kind of schmutz on the back of it.
And you said schmutz.
I'm a mom. Yes. So if you're not familiar with mom cleaning, I licked my thumb and then wiped the can off. I could have mouth licked the can like you.
Did you see it was already like coming off as you?
Because you knew I was going to do it here. That's exactly what you did. I'm glad I didn't do that because I don't know what the schmutz was.
I'm glad you didn't do it anyway. Moving right along. So what are we trying today?
This is your favorite. I'm going to let you introduce this.
I'm so excited. Okay, so we're going to try Recess today. I am super excited about them in general. I'm also super excited that a new few flavors are coming out and kind of a different product. We have one that is a margarita right now. We're not trying it today, but there are some new canned margaritas that Recess is coming out with, and I'm pretty excited to try them. But today we are trying some of their, it's almost like mood.
Yeah, mood booster.
Mood boosters, yeah.
Yeah, it's called Recess Mood.
Oh, is it, yours is.
Yeah, mood enhancing mag. Oh yeah, go. Sorry.
No, that's good. We're trying a couple different flavors. They're all like full of adaptogens and CBD and all that jazz. I am trying the blood orange today, which is calming hemp and adaptogen infused sparkling water. Calm, cool, collected. Yeah. And it is.
It's the prettiest can.
It is one of my favorites, but
it's a rubber can.
It is a rubber can. And this makes me think that we might have tried one of these on here before, but
we have definitely tried Recess because you are reading the same exact thing, but that's okay. Keep going. We're going to do it again because we love it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that we have tried this, but we might have tried the margarita.
That's absolutely true.
Is what I'm thinking. Anyway.
Can we go back just 2 seconds?
Love to.
Let me just interrupt you because we called it a rubber can. It's not actually a rubber can.
I don't know that it isn't.
It's not. It's aluminum.
No, but the can cover.
It's not rubber.
It's a wrap that feels like rubber.
Oh, no. I mean rubber. Like you can rub it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also feels like rubber. But it is a rubber. I got you. What do you want me to do with this?
Oh, we're going to keep this.
Like, what do you say
rubber, you have to go back to early on in this escapade where we presented a reel to the public and I was rubbing cans.
I really like that you were able to call it an escapade too.
I know.
But no, it's true.
I mean, Janet Jackson.
We really
no, Paula
do,
Abdul.
We really.
Janet. Escapade.
We really like feeling cans,
yeah.
Up,
and so we call them rubbers because
you could they're rubbable.
They're rubbable.
Yeah.
Thank you. So rubber.
You're welcome. So when we
I
say
just
it's
didn't
a rubber,
want people to think that you could like bounce this can.
Oh no, but it feels like some of them actually feel like rubber. Some of them are matte.
They're yeah. This is a matte one.
Anyway, it feels good in your hand.
I just wanted to clear that up for Tracy in Wisconsin. Oh,
thank God. Anyway, where were we?
Defining adaptogens.
We weren't, but oh. Would you like to?
No, you go on.
No, 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 no.
Go on.
No, after you.
Also for people that don't know what adaptogens are, because I didn't. Adaptogens, this is from Cleveland Clinic.
Which so it's is, legit.
So they have amazing SEO. Adaptogens are plants and mushrooms. Did you know that?
I think it's certain like compounds
fungi
in plants
that help your body respond to stress, anxiety, fatigue, and overall well-being. You can take adaptogens by adding them to food or beverages or take them as tinctures. Adaptogens bring your body back to a steady balance by managing both physical and mental stressors. There are active ingredients in certain plants and mushrooms that may impact how your body deals with stress, anxiety, and fatigue. Sounds amazing.
Word.
Word.
So anyway, this is an antidote for modern times. And I'm trying the blood orange, and this one has calming hemp and adaptogens in it. So it has hemp. It has hemp extract to calm the mind and center the body. American ginseng to boost vitality and helps you focus. Something to ease tension, something to support your equilibrium. Anyway, they're here for us to have our best days. And I'm super excited about it. So I'm trying the blood orange. And what do you have over there? You have a cherry one, but I can't remember what it's actually made of.
Yeah, so this is still Recess, but this is their mood line. So this one is black cherry. Weekend of feeling. Not tired, not wired. A sparkling water for mood and stress for you. You are on your best days.
All right. Let's
so this has a magnesium blend, American ginseng, L-theanine, and lemon balm. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this one has hemp.
No, I don't think yours does.
Oh, well, anyway, mood enhancing magnesium and adaptogen infused sparkling water. Mine is black cherry. Bridget's going to try hers first. On ice. I'm trying mine warm. Because I like it warm.
I don't know why you made that sound dirty.
I didn't mean to. I just like it warm.
Some like it hot.
Some like it hot. I like it lukewarm. Gross. Go.
It's just like how I like my bath water. It's so good.
Oh, let me try that one. Okay. This one's on ice. It's blood orange. Oh, it's good because it's not sweet. Okay. I am going to try the Mood Black Cherry Recess. I'm trying this straight out of the can. Oh, God. That is good. I haven't had this one yet. Oh, it's kind of like a, oh, it tastes a lot like a Truly.
Yeah, a lot, actually.
Yeah. On ice, it would be even better.
Yeah, that one actually tastes just like a Black Cherry White Claw.
Mm-hmm. So, like, throw it in a glass.
No one will know.
No one would know. I love this one. This is going to enhance my mood. I was already in such a great mood.
Oh, I can't wait for it. What? I'm sorry. You know what? Yeah.
What?
What? Who?
What? I said, this is going to enhance my mood. I was already in such a great mood.
Yeah, and I said, I can't wait.
And then you said, what?
Yeah. Who?
Wait. Oh.
Oh,
you.
Oh, yeah.
I got it. You lied before then.
No, not about me. I was just making fun of you.
Oh.
Oh, didn't land. Will for the others.
Those are the mocktails for today.
Those are the mocktails. They're so good. Those are all good for the summer, although I'm not going to lie, I drink them all winter. So,
doesn't matter.
They're good for all seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do think we tried the margarita one on here.
Absolutely, but we did. I think we got that one first, maybe.
There is a new...
Do we have a code for Recess? I think we do.
We do. But there's a new line. There's a new couple of drinks. What's weird about it is they actually keep popping onto my Instagram.
Oh, yeah. That's so weird.
But, yeah. Anyway, they have... Oh.
They're going to be all over my Instagram.
There's a few that we haven't tried. So we have never had the blackberry chai, the pomegranate chai. Hibiscus, gross. Peach ginger, coconut lime. Mm. We put the lime in the coconut and drink it all together. But there is, yeah. I'd be curious what a blackberry chai tastes like. Anyway.
Weird, right?
They've got a whole new Recess zero proof line.
Aren't they all zero proof?
I'm sure they're all zero proof, but that's not what the other, like, these are calming blend business. And then their new one is the zero proof sampler pack that has ABV craft cocktails or craft mocktails to go from buzzed to balanced. And that one has a lime margarita, a grapefruit Paloma, a watermelon mojito, and a ginger lime mule.
Those are zeros?
Mm-hmm.
From buzz to balance? Like you should have them after you're drunk?
No, I think instead of being drunk. So try our four new 0% ABV craft mocktails and go from buzzed to balanced. So instead of being buzzed, you're balanced.
I get it.
Your face says otherwise.
I know. It sort of seems like they're marketing like, hey, after you've got a buzz on, try these, which is not a bad marketing play. Yeah,
that would be fine too, but I don't.
Well, right. You didn't write it.
I didn't.
I'll let you off the hook.
Thank you. Anyway.
You're welcome.
Anyway, I think we're going to order these today.
Yeah. So I think we do have a code out there. If you go onto our Instagram or moxandcox.com.
We have blue light specials.
We have blue light specials. It's under resources and we've got codes for all of our favorites. Okay. So we're big fans of Recess.
Yeah, I love them a lot. I'm very excited for the new stuff too. Their new cans will fit nicely in our new can koozies.
Ooh. Yeah. These would be great like around a campfire this summer, on the boat, on some ice.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I highly recommend them cold.
This one is fine warm.
It's fine warm, but drink it cold.
Oh, I don't want ice. If it were in a can in the fridge, it would be fine. I don't want it over ice.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's normally how I do it.
Yeah. I don't want ice. You want ice because you want to make it cold. I don't want ice. I don't like ice.
Okay, now that we've made it through that.
I definitely don't like ice with glass in it.
Nobody does. Not even the cats.
I hope not. There's more than one way to skin a cat, Bridget.
That came up sometime baby this week. Throwing babies out with bathwaters.
That came up today.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
In my head.
Oh, the skinning the cat one came up in my office this week.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you going to throw a baby out today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because I had to go to the bathroom during my treadmill workout. And so I had to get off the treadmill to go down and go to the bathroom. And I was like,
I could just leave.
I should probably just throw this whole thing away. I was 15 minutes in.
That sounds right.
I didn't. But I thought to myself, I'm going to throw this baby out right fucking now.
Well, I'm glad you didn't.
I didn't. None babies. None bathwaters. Babies. We dedicated a whole show to babies and bathwaters and skinning of cats.
I'm glad we could revisit it, too.
It's so funny.
It's just to highlight that living in the gray is an okay place to be.
Which is more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah. The all and nothing is tough.
Oh, so tough, but I'm getting so much better at it. Living in the gray is fun.
Yeah. It's where the magic happens.
I mean, I have to live in both worlds, so.
Well, and by virtue of means that you reside a bit in the gray.
True. Fine.
She hates losing so hard. It's so funny.
I'm getting better at that, too.
Oh.
I lose. I was wrong.
Oh.
Don't make me choke on it.
You did, yeah, but it sounded like you did. Sounded uncomfortable. Sounded like coming up. Got caught there, I think.
Fine. We're learning so much.
We are learning so much. Speaking of learning things.
Ooh,
so,
good to go. I love those.
So we know a lot of people who did like the dry January journey. And then some, and this is not super uncommon, extend it. And most of them, you know, for whatever reason, you know, then hit a new milestone or want to try a new milestone or, you know, see how long they can ride it. Or if it is doing something positive for them in their lives, they'll continue. And we know people now who are like,
well, 100 days just passed.
Yeah. 100 days from dry January. So we know people who have like hit that milestone. And for that, like, that's awesome. Good for them, especially if it was something that they wanted to do.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really difficult then to know what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a forever thing? Or if I'm going to dip my toe back in, how does that work? What does that look like?
When?
How?
What?
Where?
What?
Why?
We'll leave the why out for now.
the why doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't. That's a personal thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
but the
I mean, I would argue that the why does matter to the person, but it doesn't matter to us.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to us. We don't care if and when or how you do any of it. But
we just want it to be good for you.
Yeah, and it be yours.
That is difficult. Choice. Yeah, it's just I think commonly difficult place to be.
It is. Yeah. Because you also have what's interesting, and I imagine many people feel like this, like you've accomplished something.
Right.
And doing anything for 100 days.
Nine of anything is a lot.
Nine of anything is a lot.
100 of anything is a lot. 100
of anything is a lot. And no matter what you've done, like you didn't eat sugar for 100 days. Yeah. We were joking with somebody, after they'd finished their 75 hard, and they were like, yeah, I'm going to get like the heaviest, best pizza in the entire world. And we were both like, oh, you're going to be very sick.
Yeah. Like, you are going to want to throw up.
Yeah. That's going to be, I mean, and that's like the best pizza ever. And I was totally on board with them doing it. And I was like, fuck yeah, that's what I'd get too. But I know that that's going to be a very big stomach ache. Mm-hmm. So like,
and I'm sorry for you.
And I'm sorry for you. I'm happy for you, but yeah. I'm sorry for you. But I do think that like, it's anything of that, like that amount of time easing back into something is tricky. And what that, like, what is that thing? And no doubt in anybody's mind, whatever sort of tolerance you previously held, you don't.
Yeah, don't.
You don't.
It comes back pretty quick.
But it's real. Like I did, because I did dry January, and mine was a little bit longer than dry January. Mine was about 6 weeks. And yeah, no, that's no joke. Like all of a sudden you're just like, oh shit. Like a drink. Neat. I mean, what did we do? We went and got beer. Like I had gotten a heavy beer.
Oh, we were at Octopi.
At Octopi. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, like it was, did you drive?
It was like one beer in, and I was like, holy hell. I mean, cheap date. Like, that is, this is a cost-effective path, gang.
Yeah.
But it was, like, that's real. And so if you are going to be very intentional about where and what, I mean, I would not recommend, and again, you do you. I'm not telling you how to live your life.
No, right. But I probably would just talking from experience, right?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. But I don't think I'd go ripping tequila shots on that first day out.
Like, I mean, only if you have nothing to do for the next week.
Right. I mean, like, if you're totally into, like, throwing up and, like, sleeping in the bathroom, like, you do you. Cool. I'm not, yeah. Like, again, we're not here to judge. I'm not telling you how to live your life. But I just think that that's, like, not the path I would take.
But if you want to, call us.
We'll bring a camera. We'll remind you why you didn't want to do this.
The first stint I had of 90 days turned into 108 days for me, with the full intention that I was going to go back to drinking after I started. But I got real freaked out after the first, like, 90 days. Like, day 91 came around, and I was like, I don't know if I should, like, I don't know if I should do this. I didn't really want to. I felt so good. I was nervous that I would just, like, slip into some old habits and some old patterns. I wasn't quite sure if I had it licked. You know, like, I thought, oh, I don't know. So it took me a while to get there. Then I did get there. And for 2 or 3 weeks, I played the game. I'm not going to drink on during the week. I'm only going to drink on the weekends. I'm only going to drink at special occasions. I'm only going to drink here, there, or everywhere. And within 2 weeks, I was back to all my old habits. Because let us not forget that alcohol is an addictive substance. It's not like you're just going back on carrots. What advice do you have after coming off 100 or 90 days? Well, 100 days. Well, almost. Not really.
No. I mean, I think that
100 days is what, 3 months and 10 days?
Yeah. That's a lot. It's impressive amount of time to do anything.
Do anything.
But I do. I mean, I think basically what we've said, I think just be intentional about how you're going to do it. Because I think that there is, you don't really know how that's going to feel. It's been a long time without something in your body. And I think that it takes how long, like almost a month for it to clear out, right? Or 14 days? Yeah, like
14 to 18 days or something.
Yeah.
And that's a long time for something to clear out of your body. And then to have it clear and bring it back.
Yeah.
Especially after 100 days.
Yeah.
It's just a lot. It's just a lot. It's just a different ingredient entering your body again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would just caution you to take it easy.
Take her easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
one
no
of the
joke.
People that we talked to about this has a big event coming up and was like, should I do this before the big event? Should I do it at the big event?
I don't think we recommend ever doing something at big events, right?
Like, well, anything really. Like, right. Yeah, like, don't do that for the first time there.
Right. Like, that was the other thing. Cause when we were talking about, like, taking vacations, you're like, don't quit on it. Quit before it. Or quit after. But don't expect to put your body through something, quitting something.
Or starting something.
Or starting something in the middle of something else.
Yeah, they're just loaded.
Yeah.
It's just loaded enough, right? And there's some mental, if you're at around 100 days, let's say, and you're thinking about drinking again because you have an event or you have, you know, whatever, you just want to, like, come off the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Totally cool.
No, that's exactly.
If you're thinking about coming off the wagon for a certain amount of time or for an event or whatever, it might behoove you to
not do it at the event.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think that going to a wedding and starting your journey back to alcohol at the wedding is like, or a bachelorette party.
Ooh, I mean, unless you think that you can have like one or two glasses of champagne with it and that's what you were really missing, then by all means. But if you're going to put balls to the wall, don't do it there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only because you're like, you just don't know how your body's going to react again.
Right. And I don't think that anybody wants to learn that the hard way at a party.
No. Not giving a best man speech.
No, like that just doesn't. That just doesn't.
We're just trying to save you from that.
Yeah, just be intentional about it. So ease your way in, because, like I said, my tolerance went
very low.
Yeah.
That first.
And it sort of depends on how much you were drinking versus mm-hmm. how much we're drinking versus how much you're going to be drinking.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a couple glasses of champagne, it's going to be fine. You're going to be bubbly and, you know,
yep.
that's fine. But if you're drinking double Captain and Cokes for 3 hours straight.
My God, does that maybe sound try terrible?
That, maybe try that on a Tuesday at home.
Oh, my first. God, does that sound terrible?
Oh. Judge, you might judge yourself.
I really hate Captain Morgan.
It's not uncommon to feel sort of weird about it.
Oh, for
sure. To not know, like, when is my first one? When is the next one? How am I going to feel? Like, it's just an unknown, right? Uh-huh. It's not... I mean, by all means, if you think forever, this is the time for forever, by all means, keep going. Go with God.
Yeah.
I'm here for you. I'm in. I'm all about it. I think the internal fight is the thing that I just don't love for people.
I think that's the hard part.
Oh, it's the hardest part. And yeah. I don't love it for people because I hated it for myself so much, which is why I think it's just forever and black and white for me in that particular mm-hmm. realm. And it's so much easier for me because I just don't have that ongoing conversation with myself.
Yeah. I think the biggest question that they have to ask themselves if they are thinking about coming off of 100 days or 100+ yeah. days is, why did you do it for 100 days?
Right.
And
what have you been missing
right.
from that?
Yeah. So why have you been doing it for 100 days and what are you looking for
out of it? And yeah. Like, what are you looking for in the glass?
Yeah. If it isn't anything.
You can't see us right now, but we both have our shoulders way up by our ears, like in a, I don't know.
But right?
Yeah. I mean, if it enhances your life in some way and you've really been missing that, then try it.
Yeah.
It's not a failure.
Fuck
I think that's
no.
the other thing is, well, I have a very different opinion about failures in general, but failures are just lessons. They are literally just lessons that we teach ourselves. Mm-hmm. So if you go 100 days and on day 108, you decide that you're going to have a drink and felt kind of good, but the next morning you felt like shit. Jump back on the wagon.
Right.
I mean, like, the wagon's still here.
It isn't a contest. Like, you're not competing with somebody.
You're competing with yourself. But the battle is really, like, within yourself and society. Right, but,
like, you don't lose anything if you had 100 days that you decided to not do something and you decided, you know, hey, I'm going to have a Bud Light right now.
That's so funny.
I know.
Of all the...
It doesn't mean that you can't have another 100 days after it the next yeah. day. Because at the end of the day, your 100 days, who are you fucking competing with? Somebody else's 200 days?
So true.
Somebody else's 400 days? No. You're not racing anybody.
No. Nope.
Life's not a fucking race.
And this is one of my favorite quotes of all time. Like, don't be scared about the time that it's going to take to accomplish something. The time is going to pass anyway. So guess what? If you start over at day zero, mm-hmm. 100 days from now is still going to be 100 days from now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like those poor parents who are like, my kid didn't walk and he's already like 14 months and he's not walking. Well, he's gonna.
He's not going to not yeah, walk.
He's gonna.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
The parents whose kids and walked I'm telling at you, 9 months aren't any better.
If you are worried about your kids not walking yet, don't worry about it.
Like, enjoy it. Truly. Just enjoy it.
It's such a game changer.
But there is like some, you know, they're yeah. like, oh my God, my kid walked at 9 months. I can't believe he's still crawling at 14. Well, at 2.5 and you're chasing them down the street.
And guess
while
what?
They're
all going to, walk yeah. across the graduation stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
or they won't.
Or they'll crawl and it will be fine. They'll be really good readers. That little 100 day piece was from someone we know and love.
Mm-hmm.
And the other piece was also from someone we know and love.
Mm-hmm.
And this has to do with what should be provided when you're hosting an event.
Which we preach about a lot
And so much.
I do think that this is super interesting because I think I'll be surprised to see. I will be interested to see if we fall on different sides of this. Oh, you're already side-eyeing me from over there, which is funny because like we're looking at each other.
If we fall on different sides of this, you and I?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like you and I as one we and the rest of the world.
Well, normally that is how it goes. But I'm curious in this conversation between you and me right now how we'll fall on it. So this person brought an issue.
She's hosting book club. She does not drink anymore. She's approaching 1 year sober. And she wants to know if it's her responsibility to now provide alcohol in her home for those that drink. Because, well, period. Question mark, actually.
I do think it's a super interesting question because we beat this drum pretty heavily that if you're already getting a 12 pack of something, how hard is it?
And that was totally her argument. She was like, not a big deal. I'm going to get Athletic. I can definitely get Coors Light. I'm going to get a bottle of Sparkly. You know, non-alcoholic, I can definitely pick up a glass of wine or a bottle of wine.
What the tricky part about this is the reason that we have to sort of beat this drum on making sure that you think of the others is because arguably the others are a minority.
Right.
And we have never needed to prop up the drinkers because they have never had any trouble being.
So here's the, I asked her this question. I said, is it something that just can turn into BYOB? Mm-hmm. And I can't exactly remember what she said, but I know that when I've hosted book clubs in my younger years, because now I do it here, so I don't have to do this, but it used to be a big deal to host book club. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I made all the food. I provided everything, right? Like I provided all the wine, all the beer, all the, you know, captain, all the whatever it was, plus all the food. And then we just basically swapped houses. So we just shared the,
right,
like the expense of it just got shared because the next time you went to somebody else's house and they provided everything.
Sure.
Arguably in my book club, it was very expensive to host because there was so much wine. And so I asked her if she felt like it could go to a BYOB and she was like, it probably could. I don't really want to call attention to that, which I get.
Yep.
She didn't say that actually, but like, I get that like, maybe you wouldn't want to throw like, hey, I'm not drinking anymore.
So now
all of you have to bring your own stuff to my house, which they're her friends. So they would probably support it.
I think people are far more understanding
the other way
of that than she probably is concerned about.
And my thought process was, so you go out and buy all this alcohol for everybody and then you end up with
all this alcohol in your house,
all the alcohol in your house,
and you're not drinking,
possibly unfinished alcohol. Mm-hmm. That's a 3/4 of a bottle of Cabernet sitting around.
And perhaps that is a trigger.
Perhaps it's a trigger for somebody. Perhaps it's not. And it's just annoying to have it because now I don't have alcohol in my house.
Right.
So I'm not sure. Again, you know, we've had this conversation before about the dating.
Yep.
Right. Like this is sort of the exact same conversation. Like, is it okay for a sober person not to date an alcoholic or somebody who drinks?
And is it okay for somebody who drinks to date somebody who's sober?
Right. Or,
cause I think that, I mean, cause
or,
that is,
or subtract it altogether, like, dismiss that person altogether. Mm-hmm. Like you don't drink, so you're dismissed.
Yep.
Or you drink, you're dismissed. One way seems more comfortable to me than the other way.
I bet.
I kind of thought we agreed on this one.
I mean, but it does, like, that's an easier, more palatable write-off.
Do you feel that way?
I mean, I think that there is, it's an easier write-off. It's easier to say, oh, if that's that, then I don't want a part of it. But I think that there is some room for gray. I don't know that it is forcing people to buy alcohol.
Oh, the gray part?
Yeah.
I don't know what the I don't know what the right answer is here.
If it were me,
mm-hmm. and very often it is me,
mm-hmm.
I provide the alcohol.
Mm-hmm. If it were me, I would provide the alcohol.
Yeah.
Because I think it's because I have been the same one beating that drum. And
right. And it's just as easy. However, but I do think that there's situations that is not as cut and dried.
I don't
have triggers from alcohol.
But I do think that if you do, you are not obligated to provide something in your home. That is a great
boundary to set.
Yeah.
No, sorry. We just don't have alcohol here.
Yeah. I think that's a perfect boundary. And then you have to decide for yourself, is it okay if somebody else brings it into your house?
Yeah. I think this is a great, it's a great conversation about boundaries.
Totally.
I mean, setting boundaries mm-hmm. and not caring what other people are going to say about your boundaries too.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's a difficult place to be. I don't care how comfortable or confident you are. It's a difficult place to tell people no.
It's comfortable. It's uncomfortable even if they are your closest friends.
More so probably.
Probably.
You know, that second circle is easier to say no to.
Right. Yeah, I think you have to decide for you what you're comfortable with in your house. And if you're okay with it in your house, by all means, continue to provide in equal fashion, because I would.
Yeah.
And if you can't, that's okay.
Yeah. And if you simply don't want to, it doesn't have to be a trigger. Like, you don't want to spend the money on alcohol because that's something you just don't spend money on anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's enough.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going out to buy cookies because I'm not eating sugar.
Right.
So I'm not going to go out and buy a bunch of cookies for everybody just so everybody can have cookies.
Right.
I'm not spending my money on that right now.
Right.
You're stuck with tomatoes and pestos and beef sticks. Yeah. I think there's so many of these nuanced. There, you know, there's heavy conversations for sure.
It's the all like or nothing just that through. We can't really do. Like every one of these scenarios deserves to be kind of addressed on its merits.
Yeah.
And to say all or nothing is really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
impossible. Actually, it's just impossible. Like, everybody, you just have to do you.
Right. Ooh. And as you do you, boo. But as you're navigating all these different things, and this is actually going to lead us into the other one. Like, as you're navigating, you know, whether or not you want to start drinking after you haven't been, or you're navigating if you want to buy alcohol after you haven't been. Another thing that comes up is, do you have to change your behavior because somebody else has? And that's also to be decided on its merits. Is your behavior triggering to them? Do you care? Is that like, how do you?
And even if you really care, is it your responsibility?
Right.
Which the answer is no.
No.
The answer is no. Yep. You cannot control other people's actions.
Correct.
Period.
Like, yep. You can only control your response to them.
Yes.
And if
your response to somebody is to not drink around them, that's fine. You cannot expect a different
right.
But that's reaction.
That's your choice.
That's my your choice, my choice, whatever.
Right.
But the problem is that we tend to, I think, just as human beings, especially right now in this time, we tend to think that our actions are somehow going to change other people's mm-hmm. behavior. It doesn't. I mean, it just doesn't.
Right.
In general, or it just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no matter what you think you're doing to help somebody else, I think in the alcohol realm or lots of other things, right? If somebody wants something, they're going to do it. And in the alcohol world, in this addiction realm, in this whatever case may be, people have to make this decision on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a really tough place to be.
There's a lot of personal responsibility that has to be addressed. Like, that's
taking responsibility for.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
that's, you cannot be responsible for anybody else's behavior but your own.
Yeah.
And whatever that looks like in terms of, you know, whatever somebody's going through, you know, you can be supportive as possible, but at the end of the day, you do you.
And if I and may, them, and with another reach around, the decision to drink after 100 days mm-hmm. or after 90 days or after 2 days or whatever, that is your decision. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to be okay with it. Mm-hmm. So being intentional about it, like you said, is such a significant thought process to wrap your head around, because you're going to have to live with whatever decision you make about it.
I mean, and I think that's the case for all things, all days.
All days, all like, things. It's yeah. not, it's not,
you don't exclusive get out of it.
To,
yeah.
Well, it's not exclusive to alcohol either.
Nope.
It's just in general.
Yep.
It just happens to show its face a lot in the alcohol world, the
right,
drinking
because
world.
Because this one, I mean, it's a bigger thing. It's
well,
a, it's
and a, for some reason, it gives people permission to have an opinion about it.
That's always my favorite. You don't eat mayonnaise? Why?
I mean, just like, it's just one of those subjects that people tend to have.
Well, they feel like they get to have an opinion about your relationship with alcohol.
Right, but we still haven't figured out why.
No.
We probably
won't. It's funny every time to me. Like, the mayonnaise one never stops being funny to me.
I know. Like, it's like, can't you just have one line of Coke?
But yeah, it's one of those that somebody always feels like they are owed an explanation for or an opinion on, and it's fucking bonkers, but whatever. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of personal responsibility that goes into all of it. I am not responsible for what you put in your glass. I am only responsible for what I put in my glass.
Yeah.
The fact that we can sit next to each other with whatever's in our glass is ultimately the goal.
And the more you say it out loud like that, the sillier it sounds.
Right.
Like, and because also, we do the mocktails and cocktails, and the only real thing that we're taking out is the alcohol.
Yeah. Like that cheap shit.
Really? Yeah. The cheapest thing. Like, really?
Like that's like, yeah. And yet this is endless.
We still talk about
it. But it is really funny. Like, why are you worried about what's in somebody else's glass? That's the part that I've never understood.
Well, and why do you get permission to say something about what is on other people's glasses?
Right.
Like, who gave you the permission?
Why do you think you're owed an explanation? Why is it any of your business?
I think Mike dropped by.
I mean, right? Mind your business. I'm on.
Mind your beeswax.
Yeah.
Mind your own beeswax.
I wonder,
Christy
how many,
yeah. Ziegler.
I wonder how many times that'll come up. Forever.
Forever.
For the next 8.5 years, 9.5 years.
Oh yeah, we're getting close to 1 year. We are going to wrap this up though.
Okay. We'll continue it next week too, into the same.
Same thing over and over and over again.
These are some
business.
Of the things that continue to pop up with the people that talk to us is this. And like, I get it.
Ultimately it's just a personal.
Yep.
It's a personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's a personal decision. It's a personal way of life.
And we fully understand that's not an easy answer.
It's like, super simple, yet like, not easy,
yeah,
right?
Like it is as simple as you do you, I'll do me. That is so much easier said than done.
Yeah. I mean, we're up against some fairly large societal reforms that just have not, that are just tough.
Just tough.
They're just tough.
Just tough.
I think the more we talk about it, the more it comes
in. The more we normalize it.
The more we normalize it, the more it can actually come out of being behind closed doors, the easier these conversations can be. And I think we've seen that so much just in the like non-alcoholic product world mm-hmm. already. I just read something yesterday. Yeah. that non-alcoholic, this is sort of like the horse one. It's actually exactly like the hardball.
It's not even just like it. It is that. I just read an article about that. Oh, yeah. That you sent me.
Go on. Tell us what the article said.
No, you're doing great.
I'm not even going to get it because you know I didn't read that article. I skimmed.
Which is why I was so impressed that you were going to bring it up. I was like, wow, this is happening. Let's do it.
No, the only thing I saw in it was
the title.
No, the excerpt that says the non-alcoholic industry has doubled in the last year. That's it.
And it has.
Maybe you should tell the story about the horse so I don't look like such an asshole.
So, no, I think I'll let it hang.
I think I'll let this hang out.
No, sometime, I don't know, sometime last summer, we are in the same book club. Katie runs a book club. There was a book that we had read and she said something about beating a dead horse. And I said, oh my God, I just read about a dead horse. Well, it was in Kristen Hannah's Four Winds book about a dead horse. And then she was like, yeah, dummy. That was a book we just read yesterday.
It was more than about beating the dead horse when they like stabbed the horse's stomach.
It exploded
with a bunch of dust.
Yeah. I'm cutting all of this. But
no, you're not. It's so funny.
But yeah, like, so anyway, so that happens all the time because we spend an inordinate amount of time together and talking about things and doing all of the same things. Yeah. And then
the amount of memes that have been shared twice.
It's always funny.
But the article title was very informative.
Yes, and the article itself, had you read it, was also super informative. But yes, no, it is. We'll go into that, I think, sometime next week, because this was a huge NPR push, and mm-hmm. I was pretty excited because it was one of those that was so far better than the New York Times, better than the Washington Post, and
they just keep getting better.
The fact that they keep coming out at all,
I know,
it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
All right.
Well.
See you next Tuesday.
Fun one. See you next Tuesday.